You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album. It's time for Two Guys, One Album.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's
Did
the
I
name.
Say it right?
That's the name of the podcast.
So this week, my name is Paul Farvar, and together with
Michael Heidemann, and we got Paul Farvar, who is legendary lawyer, comedian, djembe player. You kind of do it all.
Yeah,
guitarist.
I've done it all mm-hmm. poorly, but at least on paper, it looks like I know what I'm talking about.
Lover of fruits. I'm just saying that because of the album we're talking about
today. Oh, yeah. That's true. So I picked this album because of the recent passing of Dolores O'Riordan, who was amazing. And I picked the album to review today, which is The Cranberries' No Need to Argue, which is their second album, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. It was the second studio album released by the Cranberries, released on October 3rd, 1994. It's actually the band's best-selling album, has sold over 17 million copies worldwide, and it contains one of the band's most successful singles to date, which is
Zombie,
which I know you and I both love, so I'm excited to dive right into this album.
Yeah, no, I mean, this song, and I've talked to you about it before. I've talked to people about it. I wrote about it when she passed away, but like literally, I used to listen to this album from beginning to end when I would study, when I was in law school, in the late 90s. It's just a great album, and you can listen to it all the way through. I think there's a couple songs I would fast forward, but yeah, that's all I can say. It's one of my top 20 albums, top 17 albums of all time.
Wow,
I'll go 17.
Who were the last three that got knocked out?
I don't know. I just figure 17 sounds better than 20 because
yeah.
I was like, it says, whoa, okay, so this is legit. One of the best albums.
Do you want a little background on the Cranberries before we dive into it?
Let's do it. Yeah, people don't know the Cranberries. I guess your generation, you millennials, won't know who this is.
Well, I don't. I always knew because I grew up listening to alternative rock stations here in the northern suburbs of Chicago, and they played these albums like no other. And then I remember this song had a really, really big resurgence. It was in this indie movie called The Sound of My Voice, and they played the song. I think it was Linger. Yeah, it was Linger.
Linger's not on this album.
Oh,
it's on their first one.
But I'm saying, like, as far as the Cranberries goes,
gotcha.
Yes, they. But let me give you a little bit of background information. And who I just gotta give a shout out to whoever puts together these Wikipedia articles. They are amazing because they do a really great job of finding some in depth things about these bands. The Cranberries are an Irish rock band formed in Limerick in 1989 by not Dolores O'Riordan, which is kind of surprising.
What?
By Niall Quan. And I'm saying that because his name is N-I-A-L-L. And
do we
I don't know
it's a he?
I'm going to say it in an Irish accent, actually.
Okay.
Hey, Niall Quan.
Sounds Jamaican. It really does.
The guitarist, Noel Hogan, I pronounced that one right, and bassist Mike Hogan, and drummer Hulk Hogan. Oh, sorry, I mean Fergal Lawyer, Lawler, Fergal
Lawyer.
Lawler. Lawler. I always screw up these names.
Yeah.
And eventually Quinn was replaced by our good friend and the most lovely voice in all of, I think, Irish history.
Amen.
Dolores O'Riordan in 1990. You know, they were widely associated with alternative rock, but it also incorporates a lot of indie pop, post-pop, post-punk, Irish folk, and pop rock elements. And actually, there's a lot of live albums that they did and live DVDs that they did where Dolores really showcased her Irish singing, which was kind of cool.
You know, I never got to see her live, and that kind of bummed me out because I know they were recently in Chicago on a reunion tour, and I was going to try to go. I think they were at Aragon or something, and I just didn't do it. So, but I mean, she's got an amazing voice, and this album showcases the flexible. Like she goes from like Zombie, which everyone knows, but then mm-hmm. there's the songs that start the show, which are just sweet and like floral with orchestral arrangements. I don't know.
Yeah,
Let's play it so you can talk what I'm you see what I'm talking about.
This is track number one, Ode to My Family. They use a lot of those like tremolo kind of picking throughout their music.
I was a big fan. I mean, the simplistic, just the guitars being so simplistic, like you said, just some tremolo, vibrato stuff going on in the background in a lot of these songs, just showcase how amazing she is, how amazing her voice, just putting her in some harmonies of her own voice, and maybe some orchestral stuff that comes up later. I mean, it's such a cool basic song, but it's so awesome.
Yeah, it's almost like her voice sounds like the vibration you feel when you hit like a really loud like bass drum. It's like, I can't do it.
Yeah, you can't do it. No.
my voice is terrible.
That's bad.
But I'm saying her voice, if you picture it like a beautiful Irish folk singer, it would sound like that.
And she has such range. Like, this is a song where it's so mellow. She just almost like, it sounds like she's whispering and there's no effort made by her to just make this beautiful sound. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a peaceful, cool song. Great way to introduce the rest of the album. And I would, it's just relaxing background music. Maybe it was makeout music if you were making out in the 90s. I wasn't. Other people might have been.
Never. So, I mean, this would be the greatest album.
I was a late bloomer.
Did you have your first kiss in the 90s or 80s?
No. It would have been the 90s.
Yeah. Do you remember the first song you listened to when you were making out with somebody?
Oh, God. I think it was U2 Achtung Baby.
Achtung Baby?
Yeah, not the song, but
the word tongue baby is in this. In your first,
it wasn't
song?
The song so much as that album. Like, that's when I start. Like, when that came out, I think 91 or 92 was probably when I had my first kiss, like open mouth kiss.
Okay.
I think
that's a good visual for all the listeners to check out right
and
now.
And I had braces on too, so add that to the list there, babes. So, all right. So we got Ode to the Family. What's the next song?
All right, let's check out the next song here.
Can't Be With You is the
second
song.
I Can't Be With You. Oh, they really focused on the drums here on this song.
Put your hands inside my face and see that it's just
It's got like that 90s rhythm.
But it's bad and it's mad and it's making me sad.
Short one too, this chorus coming up.
Right here. Yeah. Such a 90s song. You've never heard this song, have you? Because this is a deep cut.
I have never heard this song, but it sounds like it should be on the soundtrack of Can't Hardly Wait. Or some kind of like She's All That.
Rom-com for sure.
Rom-com, just right when the girl falls in love with the guy, finally, and they run off from the school dance, and this is the song that they would play for sure.
Or the best friend who like is sitting around just upset that he sees like all these pictures of who he had a crush on, and he can't be with her. That could be the other alternative version. But yeah, this is one of their poppier songs. Mm-hmm. And again, simplistic. Just it shows you, keep it simple, stupid. There's catchy songs that they're undeniable. And this wasn't even one of the hits on the album.
Yeah,
it's poppy.
I like the poppiness of it. A quick sidebar on this album. The mood actually in this album is a bit darker. So this is kind of an outlier on this album, I'm guessing. It shows a more mature performance by Dolores O'Riordan writing about war, death, love, disappointment, rom-coms, Hulk Hogan, and her
It's a rom-com. I don't think any of the songs are about wrestling. I could be wrong. Zombie.
You never know. It could be.
But it's not. It's about the Irish the war-torn Ireland.
Oh, that's right. That's,
she got political.
I think I did hear that at one point. Her voice is actually clearer with without the previous albums, double and triple voice layering. Man,
yeah, they didn't do as much layering. Yeah, there was way more layering there. This is just her. More pure. I mean, obviously there were some effects, but it wasn't like now where there's like crazy effects on stuff. But it was, I mean, yeah, you can hear her voice and how amazing. I mean, like from that song, you saw like the last song, Ode to My Family, just mellow and like it seems like she's whispering, and then here she's stretching a little more.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I love that song. It's one of those albums again that you don't fast forward very often on. Can't say that about a lot of albums, but this song you can listen to all the way through.
Mm-hmm. You want to skip to the next one?
Yeah, what do we got? Speaking of skipping the next song, what do we got next?
21.
Ah, yes.
So this is the precursor to Taylor Swift's 22. 21, written by Dolores O'Riordan.
Michael Jordan's doing the next one.
Spending a lot of time in this song. Let's get to the good one.
Well, no, I mean, this song is, again, it's so easy. All the guitar is doing is picking on a tremolo vocal. But it's such, I mean, when I was telling bands what it takes to, like, be a hit, so if I knew anything, this is a great example. Like, people try to do weird music signatures. Mm-hmm. This song, if you have amazing vocals and good lyrics, you're already two steps ahead of most bands, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, they say the simplest things. It's all about like Occam's razor. The simplest answer is always usually the best answer. And you can see
Occam?
That Occam. It's a kind of like philosophy or theory.
I never heard that.
Some dude named Occam, probably
sounds
really
made up. But yeah, I mean, I loved, you know, I was in a band that we did covers and originals called Shoeshine Boy, and our singer would often be compared, Jocelyn Baker would be compared to the Cranberries, and I secretly was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is we would cover their songs, especially the hit, which we're going to hear next, and it was so easy to play for me as a lead guitarist in the band, because I'm like, oh, cool. All it is tremolo and picking the chords of the song, which is what that guy was doing on 21.
Mm-hmm.
So
what an easy job. So
have a just follow your lead and just find a strong vocalist who writes good songs, and then you can be in a band.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Learn the basic chords. That's what I did in the 90s.
And that was the guitarist you're referring to is Noel Hogan. And this is now song number four.
Yes.
Coming up is the first song where on the album where it's just credited to O'Riordan.
Yeah, she didn't. She wrote this song, and it actually was when she started writing more songs after this album, because the ones that were hits were the ones that she wrote on her own. And if there's one song that defines the Cranberries, it's this song four.
It really sets the stage. What a soundscape for a song.
Yeah. I mean, how can... It's just... There's one guitar every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Bass and drums.
Just that killer bass line, too. Just driving that song along.
It's four chords, the whole song. And they make it so cool. It's almost like that 90s feel where it goes... You go really swell... And then bring it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then here the swell comes up right now in the chorus.
And then these vocals.
Yeah. so amazing.
So the song was actually written by O'Riordan and is, according to her, about the Warrington IRA bombings in 1993.
Yep. There it is. Powerful.
Right there.
I mean, that's a thing. This album was the 90s, so you got to remember there was a lot of those rock bands that were fronted by males. Like, you know, the Pumpkins were really big in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the same kind of style where you had these grungy guitars and the you know, swell for the chorus and then bring it back down. You know, it was a pattern.
You're dead on. I mean, I didn't really even see that until you put it into those kind of words, the way that everything kind of followed that simple formula to mm-hmm. make a great song. I think back to Third Eye Blind. I think back to, you know, the Pumpkins. It was all about that swell and then that great just chorus that you can sing along to where you don't even need to know the words. You know that, hey.
There were no words before. But that's the thing. Like, this song was an outlier for the rest of the album because, I mean, a lot of the stuff, the rest of the songs, there are a few poppier stuff, but, like, this was their rocker.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are Cranberries fans, this is the outlier because the songs that you remember, if you like their music, it's all the softer stuff
mm-hmm.
that, you know, and it's just amazing. But, of course, this song was every band I was in, we would cover this because it was so easy to play and nobody can cover it right because you're like, oh, it's only four chords the whole song. But it's different because you got to have a drummer that can create the differences and mm-hmm, playing it mm-hmm. live or hard.
Man, I would have loved to see Xu Shan Boys when you guys were playing.
Xu Shan Boys singular. Yeah, you know, we're going to have a reunion show. We're talking about it, but we're not going to cover Zombie.
What?
No.
You talked up Zombie and that's your big hit?
That was when we were, you know, we started as a cover band, but then we were an original band. And if you're going to cover anything, you can't cover Zombie if you're an original band. Although now you can because it's vintage. It's what the millennials call vintage. I'm going to say us millennials at least once on every show.
You can
because nobody can see me. They don't know what I look like.
Paul, you got a headband on and you're chewing on a Tide Pod.
That's what I'm doing. I'm just like you guys.
I do like the name Zombie. I mean, it comes from, like I said, the Warrington IRA bombings, at least according to O'Riordan, the writer of the song, that resulted in the death of two children. And it's just, I remember this music video was so like, remember that red, evil-y, and then she dressed up with that.
She's like muddy. I think it was like a white dress or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you're right.
Okay. Maybe it was it for a music video.
I drank a lot in the 90s.
Okay.
Drank a lot.
Ready to go to the next one?
Yes. What do we got?
Empty.
Empty.
Let's check it out. Listen to the importance of the song placement, too. After a heavy song like Zombie, you go right into this like little, you know, piano-based. Minus the lyrics. Gentle acoustic song.
Same thing.
Paul's,
simple formula.
Paul's making out on a couch right now. Just listen to this song.
Not yet. Oh, there's some djembe right there.
I caught that too.
That might be bongo. Look at that.
Something has left my life and I don't know where it went to. Somebody caused me strife.
Well, it doesn't say on the album. It just says Fergal Lawler played drums and percussion. So we don't know if it's a bongo or a djembe, but it could be either.
Fergal Lawler, the inspiration for the hit 2000 songs Fergalicious, right?
Later married Fergie. Weird thing that they did. Fergal and Fergie. That would be a good thing. No. I mean, this is it's a great album, but like these, it's kind of weird. Like these songs are all mellow, and when I would I just remember studying for finals in law school in like 1999, mm-hmm. and you just go through this thing, and they just it's mellow background music, but it was so like. It's a one part of studying that you'd like look forward to because you could listen to some cool music. And I would listen to other stuff like that. Like the Sundays were really big, similar sounding, and Mazzy Star. Mm, those are mm-hmm, the bands that mm-hmm. very similar sounding in terms of female-led vocalists that were mellow or stuff. But nobody quite got to the level of success that I think the Cranberries got.
Absolutely. And you can hear that great Irish influence too with that 12-string guitar that they have yeah. and the bongo slash djembe that comes up in the back.
One or the other. We know it's one. It's not a slash. It's either... It's we got to figure it out.
Oh, man.
Actually,
Fergie,
first caller to... Yeah, are we taking calls? Oh, no, wrong thing.
Email us at our show email. Yeah. And the first person who gets it gets to go to a drink date laugh here in yeah. Chicago.
Yeah, we'll get you a free bongo djembe performance. Michael, you can come. Mm-hmm. You play guitar. We'll play empty on guitar and djembe, but you'll have to sing it
to whomever. And you have to. And by the way, we can't pay for your flight nor hotel. You need to come to Chicago
yes.
to the WGN Radio Studios,
and we will play it for you.
Yes,
and we will find a singer to sing it if you want that.
That's a good yeah. idea.
And it's going to be empty, and that's it. It's just one song. And you're like, all right,
just the one.
Thank you so much for coming. Goodbye.
But I thought you guys were going to play Zombie. No, sorry,
Zombie didn't have djembe. No. Although I did play the djembe on Zombie on our acoustic performances of that song.
You really?
Know? Yeah, because you'd play
you played acoustic.
Yeah, so sometimes you'd play these gigs when I was in bands, and you'd sit in the corner and you'd have to play, you know, 2 to 3 hours to get paid the big bucks,
mm-hmm.
at, like bars where people aren't paying attention to you,
mm-hmm.
and you'd have to fill time. And Zombie was a time filler because it's a good 5 minute song, easy
yeah.
to play.
5 minutes, 6 seconds.
Yep.
Pure djembe.
We didn't play them. No, it was guitar and djembe. But then the djembe would pull out and there would just be the guitar or vice versa, where it'd just be a cappella singing for the low ends.
Mm.
And then the swell would be the djembe rock.
Oh, man.
Maybe a tambourine on the toe, just kicking.
Ooh, tambourine
time.
On the toe.
And djembe, yeah. Double percussion.
Whoa. You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. But no.
I can't wait for the reunion tour.
But if you can tell us if it's the djembe or bongos, the performance of Empty is on the table. No Zombie.
No, we can't do Zombie.
No Zombie.
We can't do Linger.
No Linger.
But it's Empty.
Empty is on there.
You know, we might throw an extended toe tambourine solo yeah. there if you want to.
Yeah, we can work something out.
Okay.
But you gotta prove that you figured it out because it's not on the Wikipedia page.
Paul, I'm trying to keep our podcast to a normal amount of time, like so everyone knows that they can listen to it in about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So we're running short on time. Do you yeah. want to power through some of these?
Yeah, let's go. What do we got? Everything I said is next.
Everything I said.
This is one of those mellower songs. I think this is the only one I would fast forward.
Okay.
Maybe some people will like it. But do you see the same pattern, the mm-hmm. same freaking...
It's never just lyrics first and then
no.
guitar.
Ooh. It's kind of a little different rhythm, but the guitar is doing the same exact shit every fucking song.
Mm-hmm.
I said frickin' before and then I just went screw
just go straight.
People are like, oh, this is going to be family friendly, and then I tricked them. But it's true. It's just
yeah.
anger swelled in.
Then everything I said came on, and then Paul said everything.
Song.
Paul
yeah.
said
that's
literally
the one,
everything.
That's the one song I would fast forward.
Here's Icicle Melts.
Icicle Melts. Very good song.
The same guitar progression. That D, that swelling D.
Right. This song's in 3-4, though. Change the music signature, but same thing. Two tremolo, two notes on the guitar.
When will the icicle melt? The icicle, icicle, and when will the picture show end? The picture show, picture show. I should not
yeah.
have read the paper.
It's just a mellow background music, but the music signature changed, but the same theme, same guaranteed success formula.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good vocals, easy guitar.
Yeah, I've been looking up. I gotta see who produced this album because I want to know, because he or she had a great idea about what to give to their
Stephen
record
Street,
labels.
Right? Is that who?
Is that who it is?
I don't know.
Stephen Street.
I remember that name for some reason.
Does it say it on the album?
I don't know.
Okay.
Stephen Street. Yep.
Oh, Stephen
Street.
Right.
I was right.
Nice, nice.
Ah, look at that.
You have just won one performance of Empty.
I get to listen to myself.
All right. You want to hear the next song?
The next song is called Disappointment, which my parents really like this song. They used to play it for me all the time, but it actually is one of my favorite songs on the album. It's just mellow, goes on a little tangent.
You know, Paul, the thing that I've noticed about this album the most is how much they rely on Dolores' singing, the way that she carries the entire band. Because if you think about it, the soundscape for every single song is exactly the same. Not exactly the same.
Very similar.
Camp Cranberries are one of the best bands in of all the 90s, and especially this album. But dang, man, she had pipes.
She could change the feel of the song with just a slight rhythm change. You saw in the last song, it's like a 3-4. This one's a little different drum feel, rhythm and bass, but ultimately it's the same formula where they're, you know, the guitars are just a little kind of out there, atmospheric sound, not tremolo. This time we'll go vibrato, whatever, but it's her voice that makes the songs amazing. And this song, Disappointment, is really good because later on in the song, it kind of comes back down and it goes into a different, it's like a little trip that they take you on in 4 minutes and 14 seconds.
Oh, wow. All right, so this next one, Ridiculous Thoughts.
Yes. That's what my parents told me also.
About your dreams?
about me trying to start a band. That's why this song, this album touches.
Really spoke to you?
Yeah.
Spoke to you over those years?
Yeah.
This is another Hogan and Reardon's O Reardon song.
This one takes a while to get to the good stuff.
It feels like they went in there and they said, all right, we have a great chord progression, but Dolores, this is kind of all on your back, so we need you to really bring it down.
Bring
here.
Something different to the beginning, because the last few have started with the guitar same way. Listen, same guy. He's just finger-picking the chords. Do you see that?
Yeah.
But you don't notice it.
You don't know, until we really dissected this album, I never noticed that about Cranberry music.
This is a little more of a rocker. Claps. Twister, oh. Does anyone say true? You're a twister,
oh. Na na na. Many are so happy. Oh. That voice.
So good.
It's unreal. It's like an alien. Is in her vocal arrangement and then just like makes like sounds that I've never heard of before. You can't think of a song. You think Christina Aguilera, there's Adele. They could never make those sounds that Dolores O'Riordan made.
It's such a unique sound and for such a unique time. And I don't think, you know, there's people now after her death that are covering her. And if you listen to the covers, they're all very tasteful and they're great, but no one could hit that sound. You know?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. All right, so we're going to have to speed through these just a teeny tiny bit.
Dreaming My Dreams.
My Dreams.
This is one of those mellow songs that is just like, oh man, it puts you in a good place. This is definitely on a lot of yogis' song list. I'm surprised. I've done yoga for a few years and I've never heard this song, but this would be on a yogi.
Is that a didgeridoo?
Mellow.
No, that's
candy. It's just so mellow and cool.
I feel like I could
hear
like a nap to that song.
It's so good though.
Here's Yates Grave, and I have a little bit of info on this one. The song Yates Grave, incorrectly listed on the album as Yeats Grave.
Oh yeah, they spelled it wrong. Huh?
And never corrected for any of the album's physical re-releases, is about William Butler Yeats, and quotes one of his poems, No Second Troy. Very interesting.
Oh, wow. I'm not into poetry. That's mostly because the girl I had the biggest crush on in life married a poet. I was like, ugh.
Oh, no.
What's he got?
I understand
that. And he's a successful one. It's like, how do you become a successful poet?
He's a successful poet?
I it's like a contradiction.
Is he Yeats?
I don't know.
Oh.
I thought you had to die before you can be successful. Or
yeah,
maybe
that's
he has
not
like
fair.
A lot of, maybe he's like Amazon reviewer and he just does poetry.
Him and his feelings.
Yeah.
Jeez. I could write a poem too. Really easy. Roses are red, violets are blue.
Doesn't have to rhyme.
I love the cranberries. And so should you. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, wow.
Speaking of flowers, here's Daffodil Lament. That swell, yeah. The 90s swell.
The 90s
Hashtag
swell.
#90s swell. Get it trending, guys.
Yes. Yeah, what is that sound there? I don't know what that is. Maybe we can make this part of the
sounds
contest.
Like a guitar.
The blowing one. What's that one called?
That's the vocorder.
The blow one. That's it.
That's what I do since I met you.
I'm sorry, I'm turning this one down, Paul.
Yeah.
It's so pretty, though.
Yeah.
The final song on the album, song number 13. The album's title, Saving the Best
title
for the
track.
Last.
No need to argue. It's more of like a goodbye. The song just kind of like, it lingers for no pun intended, but it's just kind of like out there. And this was where I would like power down my computer from studying for 50 minutes.
I love this because, again, it was all in the 90s. It was all about the song placement. And they don't do this anymore with music anymore. But this is what every last song would be. It'd be like the lullaby, goodbye kind of song that just eased you into wanting to just repeat the album again.
Yeah. And it really was a great song. And it's a great album. And it's just sad to see that she's gone. But,
yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
you know, as much as we were joking around, it is really sad to see that she had passed away because
she
went through some
age too.
Yeah, through some really serious medical and emotional problems. And you know, she will be missed. She was one of the greatest singers of all time. Dolores O'Riordan carried that band.
100%. I don't think anyone in that band will doubt that.
No, and she
or argue with it.
She seemed so cool, and she had that. The best part is she sang so well and so pretty, but still had that cool punk rock like attitude about things. I like that.
It's awesome, yeah. And she was so young when this album, the first album, came out,
mm-hmm.
And just the way that they just blew up, and then you know they had follow up albums that were great. And a few other songs from the other albums, but this was their peak. And the fact that we don't know what's happened back, you know, maybe there's going to be a Cranberries documentary in a few years or whatever. But mm-hmm. she brought that Zombie song and Ridiculous Thoughts were the rockers on the album, and Zombie was their hit, and it was a step away from their comfort zone, and then it opened the door to so many fans, and you know. People joke, you know, when they say, hey, are you a Cranberries fan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I was. I wouldn't admit to it because it's kind of like it's got this stigma. But they really were a freaking awesome band. Why did I say freaking again? You know, when you walk into the WGN
in.
Studio,
yes, you're
it just
in front
creates
of the mic.
This, it creates this censorship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great album. I give it, what was our, so 11 is the best, we mm-hmm. agreed. Because that's when you're on Facebook.
So you're giving it likes.
Likes.
Yes.
So if you're getting 11 is when you can no longer see the names and it's just automatically goes 11.
Yes.
Out of 11, I give this 9.5 likes.
9.5 likes. You know, it's funny you say that because that's kind of, I was leaning towards a little bit, I don't know, it's hard. I'm going to give it, I'm just going to say it, 7 likes.
7 likes, wow.
Great, great album. I'll give it 1. Wow, though. I'm
one
giving
wow.
it 7
oh,
likes, 1
so
wow.
7 likes. You know what? I forgot that there's different emojis that
yes,
can be. I'm going to say 9 likes
okay.
and 1 heart.
Oh, I like that.
That's the way it goes. And the Heart is for Dolores.
Oh, man, Paul. That's
such a great album. Go and buy it today, you guys. We're huge fans. It was on Island Records when they were in their prime.
Mm-hmm. Check it out.
So was the band.
One of the greatest bands of all time. They went on to sell over 40 million records worldwide, achieved four top 20 albums on Billboard's 200.
Wow.
One of the greatest bands that there is. Dolores, you will be missed. Let's close the vinyl, I guess. Close the book.
Close the book. That's been Two Guys,
One Album.